Hello and welcome to the Rambling Runner Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Chittum, and this is the podcast for all the dedicated amateur runners out there who are working hard to get better while balancing running with the rest of their lives. Today is my first day of marathon training season. I'm excited to be doing a fall marathon. I'm not sure which one yet. I'm going to stay local. So I live in Rhode Island. I might be doing the Ocean State Marathon. I ran that a couple years ago. Maybe the Bay State or maybe another one. I think it's probably Ocean State or Bay State. Maybe Cape Cod. Maybe Hartford, but we'll see. I want to bring that up because our presenting sponsor is ASICS, and I trust ASICS shoes with all of my training. The speed days, the long runs, the easy runs. Today I was wearing the Nova Blast 4, a great easy day shoe which I trust and which has a ton of stack, which for me, be piling up the miles, hopefully getting the 50 and 60 mile range. And these are the shoes that I'm going to trust to do just that. Go to ASICS.com today and check out all of their offerings. And they're always bringing new shoes on the market. Some you know about, you know ahead of time. Others you might not, which is always kind of a fun little detail over there at ASICS.com. So we are continuing the My Favorite Workout series with Jess McLean. You may know Jess from her recent performance at the Olympic Trials where she finished fourth. She ran incredibly well. And in this podcast, she details her two favorite workouts. Not only is Jess one of the best professional runners in the U.S., she is also her own coach. Now, she has had plenty of coaches in the past, but she's her own coach. So she's coming at this from the athlete and the coach perspective. And not only that, we really dive into the kind of the mental side of these workouts. There's plenty of physical things to want to talk through and making sure that we talk about how these workouts can be used not only for elite runners, but also everyday runners as well. But we really talk a lot about the mental side, which I was really excited about. So let's get into my podcast with Jess McLean. All right, Jess McLean, welcome to the show and to the Our Favorite Workouts new mini-series that we are doing.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Matt. I'm so excited.
And we got some exciting news since the time I asked you to come on the show back with Brooks. I know you announced that you signed with them recently again. So congratulations getting back in the fold.
Thank you so much, Matt. I'm so excited. Definitely awesome to be back with Brooks. And I feel like I'm a little bit older, a little bit wiser. So I'm stoked to see how it goes this go around.
This is really exciting. Also, like, they're making some serious moves.
You, I know.
And Kara as well. And then today, Rebecca Mara announced that she's coming over to the Brooks team as well. And I think a lot of trail athletes as well. So they're making some serious moves recently.
I love it. It's so great.
That is awesome. All right. So as people who've listened to this mini series know, Jess is going to tell us her two favorite workouts. Usually people do like a speedier one and then a long run. We'll see what Jess has to say, but usually that's how we do it. And then also figure out all the permutations of this workout in terms of how it could fit not only for an advanced pro athlete like Jess, but everyday runners like you and I. So Jess, let's get into it. Where do you want to start off?
Awesome. I'm thinking we're starting with one of my staple all-time favorite workouts since college even, just a bunch of 400 meter repeats. And we can kind of get into how you can divvy it up and split it up and maybe work on pace versus recovery. But I love to do multiple sets of typically 4 to 5 400s with a little bit of jog in between sets and then keep that jog going in between reps even.
All right. So your pro career and running at the highest level, you've been at a lot of different distances, right? You've been on the track, you've done the 5Ks, and now very recently you've shown your mettle as one of the best marathoners in the country. So has this been a staple the whole time?
I would say it has. And right before COVID, before I kind of took a little bit of a hiatus, I actually PR'd in the 1500, the 3K, and the 5K. I think it's a workout that obviously anybody on the track can do. You can definitely mix it up and do it on the grass for some cross country. You can also obviously do it on the roads and the track. So it's a favorite. And I think it's something that I've probably done at least, maybe even in high school in some variations.
Now, let me ask, do you enjoy, before we dive into like exactly how you do it, is this a workout that you enjoy? So
I love it.
About my favorite workouts, that can mean a couple of different things, right? Some people like it for the benefit it provides them in terms of their fitness level. And sometimes people just love doing a certain workout because it gives them, you know, it makes them feel warm inside. When people hear quarter mile repeats, oftentimes the warm inside feeling is not the one that accompanies, you know, that description.
Yes. No, this is actually a favorite. I really enjoy doing it.
Okay. All right. So walk me through, say how you would do it, now, or the most recent mm-hmm. cycle you were in as someone who's focusing more on the marathon side of things, and then we can dive into how you'd position this workout and how you would do it if you're more focused on the 5K, 10K side of things.
Okay, perfect. So, you know, from like a marathon perspective, this is a workout I would probably do a few times throughout the build. Early on in the build, it's a really good way to, you know, run at potentially, you don't even have to do the entire workout at race pace, but let's say I wanted to run 5:40s for a marathon. I would basically, you know, work on potentially starting a few seconds slower than that. You know, for the first few sets of 400s. And when I say sets, I'm typically doing 4 to 5 400s in a set with a 200 meter jog in between. So it's continuous. And then, you know, on average, you would want to average over the course of the whole workout, you know, your goal marathon pace. But this is giving you, if you're doing four sets of 5 or 4 400s, I mean, you're getting, you know, a decent chunk of mileage done on the track. And one way I typically, you know, how I've been doing it actually recently is I'm trying to run a consistent pace for each set. So I would start, for example, at try to hit 82s for a whole set. And then we jog 400 meters recovery. And then the next set would be around 81s. And then we jog 400. And then we try 80s and then 79, 78. So you're trying to average out at that 80 second pace over the course of the whole workout. Another way that you could do it, which is, I think, pretty tough, is to actually, you know, try and get faster within a set. So you could do 84 seconds down to 78 seconds within a set and then jog recovery and then try to do that again, or start at 82, go down to 77 in a set. So there's a bunch of different ways that, yes, it's the same workout technically, but you can really, like, you know, mess with it and iterate based on what your goals are. But for the marathon, this is something I love doing because as a more speed focused athlete, I think it gives me the chance, if I feel really good, to kind of like let it rip at the end of the last set. If I've done my job and I've like paced myself throughout the workout and I feel good to let the legs just do what they want to do that last set and have some fun, it's really fun. And then obviously you can work with this, make it a little bit easier based on where you're at in training or in your, you know, your running journey in general. And it doesn't have to be on the track. You can take it off the track and make it more of a fartlek, which is really fun too.
Now, talk to me about the recovery periods, not only the 200 meter repeats, but the 400 meter repeats. And I guess in that sense, like, what is the intentional pace there? And how often are you able to hit that and execute that intention?
Of course. So I would say early on in the build, the recovery is like true, like shuffle jog recovery. So I'm giving myself ample time to let my heart rate come back down, get really, you know, recovered for the next rep and the next set. So I would take anywhere from like a full minute to 90 seconds in between some 400s based on where I'm at, or if I'm coming off an injury or just starting out my build. And then I did this workout actually last week, and I'm keeping it an honest jog in between the 200s or 400s. So it's almost like a broken, I guess you could say like aerobic threshold workout, but you're really not letting that heart rate come down too much, but you're giving yourself just a little bit, you know, enough recovery so that you can continuously run that goal pace, whatever it might be. But that's where you can really, you know, tweak the intensity of the workout. So you could, or you can make it a standing recovery as well. You can just take 45 seconds, 30 to 45 seconds standing recovery, you know, do your next 400. And then in between sets, you could take a full 2 minute walk, jog, or walk recovery. So you can really, that's where you can really make it really hard on yourself, or a little bit easier if you're just starting out in your build.
Well, this seems like the kind of workout where it'd be maybe a little bit easier to do with another person, especially if you're doing the jogging recoveries, because sometimes we do workouts with people and it can be, I mean, first of all, it's going to be hard for adults to find time with other adults, no matter what the activity is, but then also to match workout paces. I mean, talk about like having a double of a time trying to make that work. But this seems like even if you're like even 5 seconds off per quarter mile, which in the grand scheme of things is a pretty large amount, right? In terms of like that kind of pacing, right? That's 20 seconds per mile. It seems like you could still kind of accordion it back together and still kind of stay together for the vast majority of the workout in terms of at least starting together.
Yes, I would say this workout specifically, as with most workouts, is better done with friends. It's better to have suffer buddies, better to share the load. So a lot of times too, I will run with a training partner and we'll alternate every single 400 for the entire workout. But I have great training partners. So if we notice that somebody's feeling particularly good, we'll actually, like, say I'm not having my best day, but my training partner Rosie's having a great day, I would actually start like 3 seconds ahead of her and let her catch me, you know, for her 400 meter reps if she's having a great day. So there's really cool ways, like even if you aren't matching up on pace, you know, perfectly, you can still work together in the workout. And I think it actually drives a lot of good things home when somebody's kind of chasing you down. And it, especially if you're not having a great day, it gives you a little bit of an extra push when your teammate comes up on you and gives you the opportunity to kind of go with them and have the chance to try and hang on. So that's a really great way too, to work with, you know, other training partners as well. And obviously best case scenario, you alternate every 400, you hit each pace perfectly. And then, you know, from there, you just kind of take it based on how you're feeling and see how you can help each other along.
That makes a lot of sense. See, when you first started talking about what you do with Rosie in that situation, I thought you were going to say the person who's feeling better would lead out. Kind of like, you know, be the rabbit in that situation, let the other person follow. I like this model better because it is make it a little bit more exciting.
Yeah. And we, in our training group specifically, like Rosie is so powerful at the long, long, long tempo efforts. My strengths definitely are on the track with the shorter efforts. So in that scenario.
Not anymore, Jess. Not anymore. Not after Orlando. You can't pull that card anymore.
I love that. But typically she's the one like pulling me along and encouraging me for the long tempos. And then on the track, she's like, all right, Jess, give me like 3 seconds and like, let's finish the rep together or pull me along the last 100. So just because you have different strengths, like doesn't mean you can't line up. And I think it's always fun to figure out how you can like spatchcock a workout together to sync up with others as much as possible.
All right. So how would you do the same workout if you were more 5K focused?
More 5K. Well, I'm going to probably speak to more 5K, 10K, only because I haven't been 5K focused in a minute. But I would say rest is definitely like those jogs are a little bit quicker. Well, it could go one of two ways. Like you could really focus on running at or just under race pace for fewer reps, and maybe having like more recovery. Or you could try an average race pace, really focus on like getting more time on feet, more reps in, and make it a tidbit slower. But typically, you know, especially for the track, like I also love in a 400 meter workout, like to get the first 3 or 4 sets done and then change into my race shoes for the last set and kind of like, you know, really get your feet, lower limbs accustomed to whatever race shoes that you'll be racing in. For some, that might be flats. For some, it could be, you know, super shoes. I know some track meets, that's okay. And then for most it's spikes. And I'm somebody that hasn't been in spikes for a minute. So my last 400 meter workout, I changed into my spikes for my last set. But I think it's definitely all about where you're at and what your goals are. If you want to get really comfortable running race pace, that means you're going to have to run race pace. So maybe, further along in your buildup or, you know, closer to championship season or a goal race, you know, you want to give yourself enough time out from that race to recover, but you want to know what it feels like to run at race pace for a decent amount of time. So for a 10K, obviously I wouldn't do the full, I've never done 25 400 meter repeats. I'm typically rounding out at 20. But with the 200 meter jogs and the 400 meter jogs, I'm getting well over the 6.2 miles of work. But the 400s are typically averaged at race pace or just faster, just so we can get the body used to running at that speed.
Yeah. And I can imagine this being really helpful for people who don't race a lot, especially in the 5K, in a 5K setting. Yeah. Because they say, like, someone who's like, hey, I do the turkey trot 5K, and then maybe I'll do one, maybe be in the summer. It's like, those are my staples, right? Yes. I can, like, I'm one of those people. I know a lot of people who fall into that group. It's like, all right, well, like, it's hard to remember, like, wait, what's 5K pace again? Like, or how does this feel in the first 45 seconds? Because especially you go to these, you know,
you go to, you know, kind of any local 5K, people shoot off the start line like crazy, right? You'll have the middle schoolers who try to nudge their way to the front, who all of a sudden want to tear off at like 60 second pace for the first 400 meters, and then everything else in between. So this kind of workout allows you, like, how does it feel in the first 30 seconds at race pace? While we know race pace is when we're tired at that speed, right? Or VO2 max.
Yep.
But early on, it's like, this is fast, but I'm feeling pretty good. So like, how close am I to what I should be holding at this effort?
That's a great question. I had a really fun coach in college. I had a few coaches in college. But one of them told me, like, you get 30 free seconds, like at the start, like your body, there's so much adrenaline pumping through you and like other factors at play that like, it's okay to get out hard, especially in a 5K. You know, you're working through crowds, all that good stuff. So you could actually take that stimulus and kind of like mimic that in your workout. So what you could do too is practice on running the first 400. Make sure you've done all your drills, you're really activated and warmed up, but like get out really quick that first 400. And then for the next, say you're doing a set of four 400s. So first four, practice on really getting out. Maybe the next two are right at race pace, maybe a little slower. And then maybe the last, 400 of a set, you could also focus on doing a little gear change the last 200 to kind of like mimic the finish line, giving it all you've got. I would typically string that out and kind of practice, for a 10K, you can also get really fun with it and practice gear shifts, because typically there are moves made in a 10K race. So in the middle of each of those 400 meter sets, you can take one 400 and practice what it would feel like to increase your pace by, 2 seconds over the course of one rep. But I always love ending faster than I started. So I'm always trying to listen to my body to be able to do that pretty much at the end of every single workout. And I think that's what was super helpful for me for Orlando is I did true threshold runs or tempo efforts, but I always focused on ending with speed. And that's probably like giving hints to my next favorite workout. But I think it's always a good goal to try and end at or below race pace if you can too.
And do you think that, and this is the last question I have for this little segment before we get into the long run, do you think that ending runs, especially workouts in this case, with extra juice, do you think there's also a mental component there that you can translate to a race when obviously you're going to be, in pretty rough shape no matter what race it is in the last 5 to 2% of the race?
Yeah, I think the more you can practice being comfortable with being uncomfortable in practice, as one of my other coaches used to say, and really like listening to what you're telling yourself in that moment when things get hard. He used to always say, like, when everybody's running out of the burning building, we're running into it. And that's literally, it's still stuck in my mind. Like Coach Miltenberg, he told us that before like NCAA's cross country, like, maybe my junior year of college, and I've literally thought about it since then. But it's like, how can you get yourself to the, when you're in those dark places, like how can you practice over time leaning into it and not fearing it as much? Like it's always going to be scary and it's always going to hurt. And then it's also taking the days where you feel kind of crappy in practice and like just really getting strong mentally and figuring out how to work through that, because oftentimes I've been in a race, even in Orlando, I hit a few moments where those doubts crept in and I'm like, okay, remember that one workout that we did at 5:30 a.m. where you felt this way or that way and you still got it done. Like those moments will give you confidence. So figure out too, like in practice, how you can, it's almost like playing mind games with yourself.
Right. And it's also a way to turn the workout around. Like if you can end strong, it like clears the deck of what happened before.
Yeah. And sometimes it's okay. Like I would prioritize the confidence that I would get from ending faster than like just trying to hit a pace that's not feeling great. So sometimes I will get to a point in a workout where I'm like, look, this is not feeling great. What do I want to walk away with? From this workout. And most oftentimes I'm like, I want to get through 75% of what I had on paper, but I'm also not married to that plan if I'm really not feeling awesome. But I'm like, how can I end the workout with more confidence? And typically that's like, okay, let's slow down for the middle part of the workout, still get the reps in. And then I would love to be able to end the workout well, instead of going backwards. So you can always adjust. Like, you don't have to be married to the plan you have going in. Obviously, don't throw in the towel, and like, there's a delicate balance, but you also are, it's okay to be adaptable, and it's okay to shift things around. So keep that in mind too.
All right, Jess, that was great. Thank you for diving into all the ways someone could do that workout. So what is number two for you that you want to bring up?
Yeah, I would say number two is a little bit of a mix of like both worlds. It's definitely hard, but it's got a mixture of things that I both, you know, love and loathe at the same time, things that are good for me. But it's a mix of, you know, like threshold running, and then faster, shorter repeats and or hill repeats in the middle, and then back to threshold running. So typically what this would look like for me is like 2 to 3 miles of threshold running. And threshold running is typically like running at or just below your threshold level. And this is when your body becomes like more efficient at clearing lactate at, you know, a specific pace. You can do a lot of things to calculate this pace. You can get your lactate, you know, tested, do all that fun stuff. But I just know my body at this point. But what I would typically do is like 2 to 3 miles at my threshold. So let's just take, for example, like 525 to 530 pace. And then that's running pretty, you know, steady. Maybe I would start at the higher end and kind of stay there for the first set of 2 to 3 miles. And then I would jog over to either a hill or just stay where I'm at and kind of jog in place, and then go straight into some shorter, quicker reps. I like hill repeats because it forces you to really use proper form, good mechanics. And then I would do anywhere from, let's say if it was a hill repeat, anywhere from 30 to 45 seconds, maybe 6 to 8 of those, and then go back to some tempo work. And what that does is like you are riding that lactate line, and going back to tempo work is kind of reinforcing the lactate clearing that we were talking about a little bit later, and trying to run as comfortable as you can back at that pace after having done a decent amount of work. But maybe I would keep this set at 2 miles, maybe do 3 miles depending on where I'm at in a marathon build. But there's different ways you can work with this too. And we can go into kind of how you can.
All right. I have so many questions.
I bet.
This is great. This is a great one. All right. So many questions. All right. So just from a, you know, define your terms, perspective. I know people come on this podcast for this series and kind of defined threshold pace as, you know, what someone would run if they were tapered and did an hour long race, which for you would be, you know, a shade under a half marathon pace, roughly. Yep. Is that how you're viewing it?
Yeah. Like in terms of lactate threshold specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, this is typically when like that level or effort is like, when fatigue is really accelerating. And it usually, like for me, is like when I'm at 90% of my, like what my max heart rate would be or my max effort. And this is anywhere from like between 10K pace to half marathon pace. So for me, I just know what that feels like. But for some people, it could take some time to understand like what that effort means. And you'll hear a lot of people kind of say like, oh, do this at 60% effort or 80% effort. It's all subjective to the person that's in the body. So, yeah, I would say if you're just getting into running, perhaps maybe hold off on doing this workout until you've figured out what your levels of, you know, that kind of approach are. But yeah, it is a good one. It's a burner.
All right. So for the, all right. So you mentioned you're doing 2 to 3 miles at threshold. Now for you, that we're talking roughly 12 to 17 minutes in terms of like that situation. So I think for someone like myself, maybe we're talking like a mile and a half to 2 miles, or you can just time it out and say, hey, 15 minutes at threshold.
Exactly. You can go by time or you can go by distance. Oftentimes, I think it's It just depends on what you prefer. You could go off time. With that, it's, you know, maybe just check in with your pacing here and there a little bit more. If you're on a track and you're going for distance, sometimes it's easier to wrap your head around like, okay, every lap is 400 meters, you know, roughly pace is X, Y, Z. But yeah, sometimes it's good just to let your watch go for 15 minutes and know what line you're riding at. If you're close to that 80% and it feels good, like maybe just stay there for 15 minutes and that's all you need. And then maybe the next time you do this workout, you could either stay at that 15 minutes and run a little bit faster, or you're like, hey, I think I could get, you know, I can do 18 minutes on this front end, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, you mentioned that you don't need like the lactate testing and things like that. Like, you know your body at this point, you know how it feels.
Yeah.
Are you able to put into words exactly what that feeling is, or some of the body cues that you have, or maybe it's just like your own like internal cues about how you want to do it? Like, I guess one way a previous guest talked about how, like, you know, they're doing like the 1 minute on, 1 minute off sprints. And he was saying like, what I want my athletes to do is think smooth speed. I guess like that was like the cues he would give. So do you have anything along those lines that you try to do for yourself?
Yeah, I would actually, that's like a really good way to like articulate it. I think for me, it's something that should, like how my body usually feels. It's funny because I just know at this point. But my form is typically still pretty strong. Like, I'm able to keep form. And what that means is like, you don't feel like you are sacrificing how you're running to hit a certain time or pace. I basically am still feeling pretty, you know, my arms are still kind of relaxed. I try to always like, hats keep me, I live in Arizona, so I always like to run with a hat. It keeps my face relaxed. A lot of cues that I like to think through too, or am I able to like still power through my glutes without feeling super fatigued? So there's a few points during these runs where I do like a head to toe little body check-in. But typically this is a pace where I can kind of go on autopilot for a little bit. And then once I get back from those hills though, it's a completely different story. So that's practicing.
So you're a pro. You knew where I was going. You knew right where I was going with the next question, right? Because I was like, all right, this is like a great description of the first segment. Before we get into the hills, let's just go back. Let's go to the third segment, right? So you're doing roughly the same thing you did the first segment. How does it feel different? Either in the beginning, because you're going from a much quicker pacing, mm-hmm. and especially if you're doing hills, you're doing a completely different thing as opposed to later on in the effort.
Yeah. So for the second set, in the later effort, you're feeling fatigued. You feel like that lactate is already setting in. And when I say lactate, like sometimes it's like it's almost like the feeling when your legs are starting to get that jello-y, you know, like sense, and you're just feeling like you're expending a little bit more effort to like lift your quads and get like a full, you know, stride motion with your legs. Perhaps you're feeling it a little bit in your arms. That's normal. So this is where you can mess with how much of that lactate level that you're running with. So after the hills, you could take a really long recovery. What I'm typically doing is using the recovery to and from the hills, and then I'm going right into that tempo. Or lactate threshold, rather. So what this does is it's helping me continuously practice running at that pace, but now I've kind of mimicked the latter half of a race where I am in that lactate zone and I'm training with that. I'm running through it, and I'm training my body on how I can run that pace and while simultaneously hopefully clearing that lactate. But typically I don't feel a ton of lactate unless I do some of that faster stuff in the middle of this particular workout. And another way you can mess with it is just do a longer, you know, say you were doing the 15 minutes, you could just do a longer effort and then just practice really running fast and running with good form on hill reps or like just flat strides at the end. And then the next time you do this workout, you could add that tempo effort on the end. So you can, you know, jumble the sandwich, make it an open face sandwich, however you prefer. But I like ending with the tempo effort again and practicing running when I'm tired. I mean, for marathons, that's the best thing you can do.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely. And when you're doing, especially like the second set at tempo.
Yeah.
When you're doing that, do you ever get to the point where like you are starting to breathe heavy, or is it mostly like the uncomfortability of it is more in the legs as opposed to in the lungs?
Yeah, I'm feeling it more, depends on what part of the training block I'm at, but I feel it more in the legs than I do in the lungs. And it also depends on, you know, how short or long those hill efforts are. Sometimes I'll make them a little bit longer, depending on what marathon course I'm training for too. Perhaps they'll be a little bit longer, or I'll just do this entire, you know, aerobic effort on a hilly route. And I won't even break it up. Like I'll try and mimic whatever course I'm training for. But yes.
All right. Let's talk about the middle set where you're doing the intervals. All right.
Yes.
So you're doing, what's like, you say like 4 by 1 minute. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I would say anywhere from 30 seconds to a minute.
Okay.
And this can be on hills. If you don't have access to, you know, the luxury of having a flat area to do your, you know, tempo efforts, and then hills, this can totally also be like tempo effort. And then you can go straight into like 200 meter repeats on a track, or 30 to 45 seconds, you know, at 90% stride effort in the middle as well.
All right. Let's assume people have like a wide variety of hills they can choose. All right.
Oh.
Because if they don't, well, then they're already limited by their choice. So they don't have to make a choice. Right.
Yeah.
So like, but say someone has a huge, they have the Cheesecake Factory menu of options from a hill perspective. Right.
Yeah.
So it's enormous. So what kind of slope, if you could prefer one, which one are you looking for from a steepness perspective?
Yeah, I think I'm looking more for the, like, personally, just based on what my goals are right now, I would look for a more gradual, longer hill. Especially coming from a marathon perspective, I want more time on my feet. Typically in marathons, you don't get the straight ups, which is great. But if you're more of a 5K, 10K runner, sometimes the steeper incline hills are great for form and mechanics, and you can really work on powering up the hill. But perhaps you dial back on the length. So I would even do like anywhere from, I would do, if it was a super short and steep incline, I would even do more reps, but less seconds. So like 15 to 20 seconds. And maybe you do 8 hills instead of doing like 4 to 6, you know, 45 to 60 second hills. So it just depends on what your goals are. If you really want to work on form and more speed, then perhaps that the shorter and steeper hill is great. If you want to, you know, aim for a longer hill, gradual hill that could mimic a marathon course or a specific 10K course, then great. So that's another fun way. And you can totally make it work based on where you live, what hills you have access to, and iterate, you know, in any way you need.
Yeah, definitely. That's for sure. Also seems like a great way to break up a treadmill session. If like, you're like, hey, yes, I can only do this on the treadmill, or don't have a lot of like, you know, going, you know, 75 to 90 minutes on a treadmill, but for a lot of us can feel like, you know, might as well just be an ultra marathon at that point. So this can be a great way of breaking it up.
That's actually that's a really great idea. Sometimes I get so bored on a treadmill that I'll do, this is a total aside, but I'll do like a fartlek run based on the length of song I'm listening to. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to run until this song's over at, you know, like goal, whatever pace. And then I'll take the next song and run steady. Like I, on treadmills, I have to completely play mind games with myself. It's just to get through it.
Jess, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was an absolute blast. This was just so great. Before we get going, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, are there any races currently on the calendar that you're prepping for?
Thanks so much, Matt. Yes, I'm actually opening up with my racing season after the trials here in Phoenix at Pat's Run, hosted by the Pat Tillman Foundation from Tempe at Arizona State University. My mom was actually, she worked in the athletic department there growing up, and I grew up an Arizona State Sun Devil fan, so always fun to run there. And then trying to find a good track 10K that fits in with my life and work schedule in between that and hopefully making it to Eugene for the track trials in June. but I will be also sitting tight and training for, you know, simultaneously with all this for potentially Paris. I'm planning to cheer on the top three women there, but I'll be ready to go if I'm needed. And then I'll plan out my marathon schedule, in between now and then.
There you go. Well, good luck finding the 10K. There's not many of those around. So
I know. It's, but, you know, the ones that are great are super, there's so many great ones now, and women are running so, so fast. So I'm intrigued to see what I can do. But hopefully I'm there in Eugene. We'll see. Time will tell.
All right. Good luck, Jess.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Rambling Runner Podcast. Go check out ASICS, our presenting sponsor, at ASICS.com today. Also, are you in the market for a coach? I don't know if you know this. I am a coach. So I've been working with amateur runners for over 5 years now as part of McCurdy Trained, the biggest run coaching service in America. And I love doing it. It really is one of the highlights of my day. I love working with amateur athletes who are working to get better and balancing running with a crazy schedule or looking to get the most out of the running. They feel like you have potential, but you're just not sure what to do. That's exactly where I can step in. Also, for people who maybe need just someone to like be accountable to. That's a big one. That's one for me. That's why I like having a running coach, someone I can be accountable to. Also, a lot of athletes that I work with are kind of maybe on the type A end of the spectrum, and it's great for them to have a counterbalance. And I think that that's something that I can provide for them as someone who can allow them to just relax, enjoy their running, and not obsess over it. So if that is something that you're interested in, you can always email me at ramblingrunnerpodcast@gmail.com, or you can always shoot me a message on Instagram, rambling_runner. Thank you so much for listening, and happy running.